Turn to our scripture. We're going to continue on in our study of 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to be starting with the 16th verse. Again, I encourage you, bring your own Bible. That way you can jot notes, underline, but not, though we always do throw it up on the screen for you. Okay. I thank God who put into the hearts of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but in the eyes of men. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help. I have been boasting about it to Macedonians, telling them since last year you and Acacia were ready to give. And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for that generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the lessons that you have here in it for us. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just would be present right now and that you would open up this word to us. That you'd show us how we can apply it to our lives here today. And how you would have us to live for your glory as we go through our lives day by day, step by step. Lord, might we be following you in each one of those steps. Might we be empowered by you in each one of these steps. Might you reveal to us now today what it is that next step you would have for each of us. Heavenly Father, we pray your presence here. We pray that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. We pray that your word would be the one that is preached and none others. Father, let your people be encouraged and your name praised. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, last week, we looked at this generosity of the Corinthian church and this gift that was being gathered and how they were to do it. That indeed it was supposed to be something that was done according to God's direction. That it's to be done out of willing heart. This week we see Paul saying, you know, we just need to do this right, and we need to do this well. Paul is taking great pains to make sure that everything is done just so. So that there can be no room for somebody to come along later and said, you know, I think he was, you know, taking a little bit for himself, getting a little taste. You know, a little bit for the Pastor Bruce vacation fund, maybe? Or something like that? you know, Pastor Paul vacation fund. But instead, he's saying, no, I'm sending Titus, and I'm sending a particular brother who is well known to everybody and was specifically selected to be the person who will accompany the gift, because everybody knows this guy. And everybody knows that this guy is going to say something if everything's not done right. And then there's also a third guy I'm sending with, who is well known for being very zealous for the Lord. That he's very, very passionate for God. Now we've got three guys, all whose individually are above reproach, who are being brought together to hold one another accountable as they hold Paul accountable. This is accountability, like cubed. It's like a lot of it. Well, can't we just trust Paul? I mean, after all, he's one of the apostles. God showed up specifically in person on the road to Damascus and called Paul to the ministry. Why can't we just trust him? Why do we have to have these guys going with to check up on him and make sure he's doing right? Why? Because Paul is just like every other human being out there. Fallible. Human. We make mistakes. And Paul's saying, we're going to do this right. We're doing this right. We are making sure that we have people in place to hold this accountable. To hold me accountable as I'm distributing this gift, as I'm handling it. And so that everybody says, oh, okay. I guess you're keeping everything above board here. You're doing things the right way. It's all about setting things right. Several places we're told in God's Word we need to work for as if everything that we're doing is for God. We need to work in such a manner so that it's above reproach. One of my verses which I go to all the time is Ephesians chapter 5 or verse 3. I use this one in my counseling sessions with couples. Plus I use it for myself because I need it. But start with verse 1 in chapter 5. It says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Okay, this builds on Romans 12:1, which tells us to be, that's our offering. But it says, but among you, verse 3, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Not even to be a hint. It's not just sexual immorality here, which is what most of us get hung up on all the time, because this is, big bugaboo for a lot of us. But we're talking about anything that's immoral. Any greed. We're supposed to make sure that people can't be saying, you're just greedy. Quite honestly, this is why we no longer pass the plate for our Sunday morning offering, because we don't want guests to show up here and say, church just wants my money. We put the box in the back, we put a note in here, and people put the money in as the Lord directs them. And if some day comes where there's no money in that box, well, I guess we'll close the doors. But I'm not going to do anything so that people think that they're being shaken down for God. I'm not going to do anything that's going to make us, the church, look greedy. When we count, we don't count just one person. The one person takes the offering back and they go, one for me, one for God. One for me, one for God. We don't do that. We have two people who come and count. And those two people are not the same two people that counted last week. And they're not the same people that will count next week. We rotate that, so we don't have any one person other than the treasurer who knows who gave what each and every week. So we have accountability, but yet we keep things private so that everybody's business isn't out and known. Everybody's private business. Now, Paul is doing a public thing. You know, he's collecting a gift, so he's keeping those numbers right out front. And he's making sure that he's being very specific. We have these people, and they're coming along with us to make sure that nobody can come back later and say, you know, they had sticky fingers. They did this wrong. They did that wrong. No. They're doing it for God. It's worth doing right. If you're doing something, it's worth doing right. And that's just not right in the eyes of God, but they're saying we're doing things so that they would recognize that it's right even before the eyes of men. Say, what? Why should I care about... All I need to do is make God happy, right? Remember, a couple of chapters back here, we were appointed as God's ambassadors. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to be an ambassador for God. That means that I represent the kingdom of heaven. I represent the kingdom of heaven. I am God's representative before those who don't know God. And it's my job to tell them about God. It's my job to be a representative. And when people see me, they see somebody who represents the kingdom of heaven. So I need to make sure I'm living my life in such a manner so as to well represent the kingdom of heaven. And Paul is pointing out how he's doing that in this specific portion of this letter about this gift. He's also telling the Corinthian church what their job is to do this well. They've talked about giving this gift. They were the first ones to say, we're going to give the gift and we're going to give that. He said, you know, you need to follow through. I've been talking you up. I've been telling everybody how great you are. Now, I'm just not going to take it on faith here that you're going to do the right thing and you're going to have that gift ready. I'm sending these guys to, like, remind you. Guess what? Remember, Paul's coming and he's going to be there. And he's going to have some representatives, possibly, with from some of these other churches, some of these newer churches, who were encouraged by you. And then we don't want you to fall down flat. See, you were held up as the example. And we want you to look good. So that you're an encouragement to these people. So that they don't come up and say, this is what good is. We don't want that kind of response. We want the positive response. Wow, those guys did a good job. And that doesn't happen because everybody just has a que sera, sera attitude. Oh, whatever's going to happen, that's what's going to be. You know, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, well, pfft. You know, he's saying, you know, I'm going to check the details. I'm going to make sure you're reminded. I'm going to send people there to help. Titus was the one who was an encourager for them. Titus is there telling people what to do. These people are going to respond. He's there to encourage and help them to get everything done in a timely fashion so that when Paul and the others show up, they can say, hey, here's the gift, and they can give that gift as one generously and freely given. You know, you'll be ready to give a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. You know, oh, you know, I got to find, you know, well, you know, I only got this in my wallet right now. He doesn't want to see up one of those scenes. Say, no, plan for this. It's coming. Be ready. When we get there, be ready. Why? Because you're doing this for God. You're doing it to encourage these other people. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, the new believers, these guys, you're an example. So you need to do it right. You need to do it well. We need to do it out of love. Love of God, love of our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what Paul is telling the Corinthian church, and this is what this letter and Paul is telling us here today. When God sets before us a task, we need to make sure we're doing it right. Not just, well, whatever works. Or, you know, if we'll see, you know, whatever happens. You know, we don't have to get uptight about what we're doing and get all focused in on performance. But the fact of the matter is we should be concerned enough about doing it well that we do the best that we can. After all, that was one of the main points of last week's message, wasn't it? In the lesson it says, "For if the willingness is there," in verse 12, "the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." So I'm not being held accountable to God to sing in the same manner as somebody who's been gifted with that, but I'm still held accountable for God to sing the best that I'm able. Now, as far as giving this gift, well, I've not been blessed with the resources that some others have been, but yet God has put some resources in my hands and in my care. And I need to seek His will and say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? Remember, they were taking a special love offering for their brothers and sisters who are in need in the Jerusalem church. And they're getting it ready. They're collecting. They're going to send this off to help their brothers and sisters in Christ in the church that's hurting. It's a church that's suffering from famine. It's a church that's suffering from persecution. In a very difficult place. It's the place where the church started. Jerusalem church. And this gift is one that they all said, yeah, we're going to do it. Sometimes we all say, yeah, we're going to do it. And then we go, kind of fizzle on it. We don't follow through. Well, we need to do it right. We need to have the follow through. We need to do it right so that people see, hey, we put the right checks and balances in place so nobody can accuse us of doing things in a wrong manner. Yes, we're doing it well. We're doing it so that we're going to be ready when the time comes to give it. It'll be there. And we're doing it not because somebody's holding a gun to our head, not because somebody's shaming us, but because we love God and because we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is to be our motivation. If your motivation is because somebody is putting the screws to you, that is not a generous gift freely given. That's extortion. It's theft. And it doesn't increase God's coffers one bit. It doesn't help the church at all. But just as the widow gave the two smallest coins that she had, which was all she had, and what she gave was more than those who gave out of their wealth, God supernaturally uses what we give and what we do when we do it from a position of love, when we do it from a position of faith. But what He's also telling us is that our job, our task in this, is to do it right, to be above reproach, to be imitators of Him, so that nobody can come and say, you've been bad. You know, you could have done better there. You know, it's why when I go to general counsel, I didn't stay in a room by myself. I had a hotel room I stayed in with another pastor. Why? I don't have to have anybody guess. Well, what was Pastor Bruce doing in that hotel room? Pastor Bruce was talking to another pastor. Wasn't watching movies he wasn't supposed to be watched. Wasn't entertaining people he wasn't supposed to be entertaining. I made sure those checks and balances are there. Put those checks and balances in your own life. Do you have somebody holding you accountable, what you're watching on the internet? Do you have somebody who holds you accountable with your finances? Where's your area of temptation? Where's your area of weakness? Is somebody holding you accountable? Have you put the checks and balances in place? That's why Paul's got these three guys following him around because he's collecting money. Because greed is something that everybody's susceptible to. You put a ton of money in, anybody can be tempted to, well, you know, I'm just going to help myself to a little bit today. You know, I could use a personal loan. I'll pay it back next week. It'll be fine. No, it won't. Can't do that. We can't do that with church money. We can't do that with the company's money if you're working for a company. What happens if people do that? Oh, yeah, they go to jail. We put these things in place to protect us so that we don't have even an opening for somebody to accuse us. Plus, I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot easier to be strong in my Christian walk when I'm not walking alone. When I have somebody holding me accountable, walking with me. You can encourage one another. It's a whole lot easier to get discouraged by yourself than it is with when you're with somebody else that who's encouraging you and you're encouraging each other. That's what these guys are doing. This is what's being put in place. This is the example that's being held up to us of how we're to operate as a church and as individuals. Do it out of love. Do it right. Do it well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've shown us by example what it is you would have us to do. Lord, sometimes we make things so complicated and difficult that are really very simple.